the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino here on a very busy Monday. A lot to hit on the program, including Dennis Bernstein in 30 minutes. He is live in Sunrise, Florida for Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final later on tonight. Stanford Steve in 90 minutes. SportsCenter has been at the NBA Finals. We'll ask him who he likes at the U.S. Open. Same deal there with Andrew Cayley with Covers.com a little bit later on. Full Major League Baseball. Well, tonight anyway, a nice Major League Baseball card that we'll get into. The NBA Finals as well. And Paul, I think we have to start French Open. It was that good of a match. I'm sorry. To me, when Alcaraz, when he caught that piece of debris in his eye, watching him play and how it unfolded over like the next half an hour to an hour, I thought the guy was a dead man walking. Mm-hmm. It clearly impacted who he was on the court. But I still cannot believe, and you've seen it by now for sure, you watched it, whatever. I mean, it was epic. You couldn't even move from your couch for 5+ hours during the match yesterday. I was talking to our producer, Luke, who's a gigantic tennis fan, before the show. I don't know how Sinner lost. How? He should have been higher in play to win than what he was.
Yeah.
Which was like minus 50,000 at some books.
He nailed it afterwards. He was shell-shocked. I don't think I will sleep very well tonight. Where they bring him out for the trophy presentation and hand him the microphone. At least Sabalenka was crying. I thought
you could tell on the in the post, right?
Uh-huh.
Post-match. You could tell that guy, and this is what I loved about it, he was genuinely gutted.
Sure.
It looked like he saw a ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was incredible. Like, some guys don't care. Like, I once asked Aaron Rodgers, after a heartbreaking loss in the playoffs, how long does that impact you? He goes, a day, maybe two. I'm like, okay, I'm blown away by that answer. I thought for sure it was going to like linger into the entire postseason. You could tell that Sinner could not believe what happened to himself, and he's just like, didn't know how to react. Like a wrecking ball right to his stomach.
Yeah, well, that's going to haunt him. It's over. Not only is it 2-0, but you have the 3 championship match points.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over. You have it. And he blows it. He had won 31 consecutive sets in the Grand Slam. And then he obviously hadn't lost a set in this tournament. And he's up 2-0. Looks like he's going to take him out no problem. I grabbed Alcaraz middle of the third set plus 350 because I thought I smelled a rat. Not to know, I had no idea it was going to be 65-1. And then he comes back and shocks the world. And it was the second longest men's Grand Slam final ever and the longest men's final ever at the French Open. It's nuts. And you think of this thing might go 6 hours here.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Incredible. The shot making.
Oh, my God.
Was all time good what they were doing.
Especially from Alcaraz in the final, like 15 minutes of the match. I mean, tennis is a game of inches.
Yep.
The pinpoint accuracy and just some of the stuff that was landing, it's like, how did he make that one again? You're spot on with that call.
I don't know how he let it get away.
I don't
know either. 5-3 and then 40 love, and he blows it.
65-1 on Carlos Alcaraz to come back and win that bad boy.
So how much is the delay? We always talk about the delay in play. How big is the delay in tennis? Because are you 3 points behind? Are you 2 points? I mean, also, it depends on what the point is. Is it just an ace? Is it no rally? Serve, return, winner? Right. I mean, because that's – how far ahead is it from tennis? Because you're thinking, well, how many people grabbed 60-1? How many people thought it would come in? Because then it's – I mean, you can have 2-3 quick points. The next thing you know, it's 40-40.
Sure, Paul. Typically, there's not a lot of downtime when they're going back and forth like this in a tennis match, right? So how many bettors across the world, I'm sure some sharp people have figured out a way to get plugged into the actual real-time updates, how many people have the connection that sportsbooks do to where it's actually in real time? Because that's what you're seeing when you pay attention to their app, and you're like, wait a second here, why is it that big when what I'm watching on TV tells me it should not even be close to that number? Well, something's happening 90 seconds in advance. So that's like, are we 13 seconds behind? Are we 50? Are we a minute and a half? Like, it's probably because if you watch a basketball game, and you probably noticed last night, there's a very good chance that you are at least 2-3 possessions behind in a basketball game, maybe a little bit more. So how many people actually thought to themselves, if they're like 90 seconds behind, whatever that delay might be, I need to bet Alcaraz to come back and win this right now at 65-1. By the time you thought that he had some life right there, the book's 90 seconds ahead of you and the odds are no longer there.
Yeah.
So 65-1 probably turned into like 15-1 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also this, and we talked about it with Jeff from the Sharp Plays last week. Pro better. He's done a lot of consulting in the past. Put it this way, he like analyzes and consults with like some of the biggest offshore books in the entire world. You can probably guess which ones they are. I asked him what the handle was like, just live betting worldwide on the French Open yesterday. And for comparison's sake, he said that last year the handle during the match, only the live betting, was $5.8 million. Yesterday, between those two, it was $14.3 million, a record year for live betting handle on the men's French Open.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep. The swings in play are incredible. I also noticed that during the women's match Saturday, which was nuts. Because Sabalenka was as high as $7
sure.
after winning the first set. She was broken nine times. I believe Goff broke her set nine times. So you think, okay, they have the upper hand now. She's serving only to be broken. And it's just the swings there are nuts.
Right.
Because like he said Friday, you think you're in control. And now I lose it. And now she has the power now. And it was just back and forth when no one could hold serve and how many unforced errors she had.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I couldn't believe is how many times she screams at her coach. And I noticed that on three matches prior to that. And it was Chris Everett who's just like, well, he knows that's part of the deal. She's going to air her frustrations.
That's what he signed up for.
And he's got to take it. I mean, right. She's screaming at him. And yell, she's a very animated player.
It'd be funny if he just walked away and quit.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Fine. Do it yourself. I'm not going to take off.
I can see how she's the number one player in the world, but also some people had a problem with she basically said it was all me. I stunk. It was the worst final I've ever played. The conditions were horrible. Oh, by the way, congrats, Coco.
Yeah, she didn't really give Coco much credit whatsoever.
Yeah.
I will say,
Terrible. The unforced errors were 70-30.
Yeah, that'll kill you.
70 unforced errors.
How do you win a match?
Yeah.
At this point of a tournament, like in the championship match, that's not going to happen very often, if ever. Didn't you think that when Sinner rallied in the fifth set, that he had him on the ropes at that point, and the comeback, it's like, okay, now he was dead and buried, and he came roaring back, and now he's going to win this thing.
Yes. I thought he had it, too.
That was epic, man.
I know. They needed that, too. With Nadal going out, Federer out, and Joker at the end of the line, too, it's big. If these guys can have a rivalry and be the dominant players, and we can get this on a regular basis, and I hope it happens at Wimbledon and the U.S. Open,
right
too.
There with you.
Because it's also, you need some attitude, too. You need some characters, and I don't know if Sinner's that guy, but certainly to be dominant and impressive. And you have that with Sabalenka. You have that with Coco. You need personalities as well.
Yeah, you get the Alcaraz who goes out there with the Hulkamania, huh? Pandemonium running wild. Can I hear you?
Mm-hmm.
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Get loud right now. And then he's always doing the fist pumping. For a guy who fist pumps 8,000 times during a match, why does he fall to his back? Why do all tennis players fall to their back when they win? It's for the drama. It's for the pitcher. Is that what it's for? It's going to last forever.
I don't know.
Just fist pump out of your mind, buddy. You've been doing it for the last 5 hours. Keep going with that celebration instead. Last night, game two NBA Finals. Was that more of what we're going to expect here? Should be 2-0 here. They gave away game one clearly.
Yep.
And last night after the first quarter, it was pretty much domination by the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, I mean, you got a great performance from Caruso. And they were dynamite from three. Siakam was terrible. And Halliburton was average at best and limping around. So, you know, there's talk about should Carlisle shorten the rotation. I disagree with that. Dance with who brought you. So I think they'll respond in game three. Will they win the series? I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout. And the fact that OKC season was on the line, they responded, and they did what they had to do. So I expect Indiana to bounce back. And they played a poor game, but that's going to happen.
For the people who buy into the zigzag, right?
Yeah.
You were probably on Oklahoma City last night because of what happened in game one. And now I would kind of expect you to come back and be on Indiana because of the zigzag. And I'm seeing at least one book right now nationally. There's a six on the board.
Well, they got to prove it on the road, too.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a huge number.
This is like the Denver territory. They've yet to cover a road game in the playoffs. So I think the fans will be ready, jacked up. First time in 25 years, 26 years, they're in the finals. They'll be ready to go. And unless Halliburton is compromised, I think they're going to give them their best shot and have an excellent chance to win. So I throw out what's happened before with their issues in Game 3, because the previous series, they led every series 2-0.
Right.
So that was a must-win spot for their opponent. So that I see a lot of that. I throw that out, that they've struggled in Game 3s.
Well, yeah, here you go with the exact numbers with the Pacers. 0-3 straight up, 0-3 ATS in Game 3s. Again, to your point, they're up 2-0 in all of them. They lost by 16 at Milwaukee, 22 against Cleveland, and by 6 to the Knicks. I will say this about the Thunder. They've been terrible in Game 3s. 1-2 straight up, 0-3 ATS. They won by 6 at Memphis, but that was the game where they were down by 29 and John Morant got hurt. They lost by a dozen at Denver, and they lost by 41 at Minnesota. Right?
Yeah.
So the Pacers, meanwhile, they're coming off of a loss. They are 4-0 straight up and ATS off a loss in the playoffs. Average margin of victory, 18 points. Pretty good.
That's what I expected from a point standpoint, total standpoint, what we saw in the second half.
Yeah.
That's what I expect to see moving forward. And I think we should see some overs the rest of the way. Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year, just $199, plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Applebaum. No-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. The morning email from Bill 80, every best bet, every host, every guest. The betting splits, DraftKings, and Circa. The dog videos and our NFL betting guide drops July 1st. Limited time offer, VSiN.com/subscribe. Code BOOK. To sign up, code BOOK.
Good reaction on how long of a delay we think that we're under when we watch these sporting events. We'll get to that coming up. You can always shoot us an email, ftm@vsin.com, and also Game 3 Stanley Cup Final. Shots and goals galore through two games, but keep this in mind for tonight. Good to have you aboard here on a Monday. We are kicking around betting and how long we think that we're on a delay during these live events. Perfect example yesterday, Men's French Open, at one point, at the low point for Carlos Alcaraz when it was triple championship point for Jannik Sinner. He was 65-1. But, like, how do you...
When you look down to bet that, it's not there.
Of course.
You're behind.
When you're watching on TV and all of a sudden, wait a second, he's got a pulse here. There's no 65-1. That doesn't exist because you're so far behind and draft... books, or I'm sorry, sports books, they have the real time feed, obviously. And we're on X at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. Emailing here is ftm@vsin.com. This is from Colin, who points out there is definitely a significant delay. He got down on Carlos Alcaraz on the third match point, but he says he only got plus 2250. Not complaining, but definitely a delay. First of all, it's an amazing bet. Great job by you for grabbing that. But you're right.
It's 30-40?
Yeah.
It was 30-40 or 40-30 Sinner. Okay, very good. Yeah, not bad.
So again, you're,
and how much? How valuable is 1 point? How much does the line swing on 1 point?
It's got that tells you, right, because it goes from 65-1 to that because it's you're
and
piling.
Also who's serving too?
Sure.
This is great.
You are piling dirt on Alcaraz's grave.
Yes.
As it's 30, you know, love, and then 40 love. You're like, okay, buddy, it was a fun run. We'll see you next year.
Damn right.
And then all of a sudden, it's the Undertaker meme out of nowhere. Hold on a second here.
Yep.
I'm breathing again.
Mm-hmm.
What? Also, were you thinking ever at some point when you were watching it yesterday, how the hell are these guys still, and I know that Sinner was limping a little bit, how are they still, I was tired on my couch. I could barely get up like twice to go to the bathroom.
I know.
Because they're playing tennis back and forth. The volleys were unbelievable at some points of the match.
Not cramping up 5.5 hours.
Yeah. The cardio. My God. It's
Yep.
All right, what do we make tonight?
I can't believe what happened in the last game. I mean, we get another double overtime. You know, I think if you're ever going to play an under, it'd be tonight. Concerns about the ice. 3 of the 4 games last year went under in Florida.
Yep.
You're talking 90 degrees, the humidity. You're talking about double overtime and now travel. And coming out the heels of overtime in game one. Could be wrong. 8 of the last 9 have gone over. But I just can't believe it's Marchand again, and it does... He loses control of the puck and Skinner can't stop it. That's how it ends? I felt cheated as a fan. If it was going to go 4 overtime, so be it. But I didn't want it to end like that, and I can't believe Skinner allowed that to go in.
Well, how did he allow the shorthanded goal to go in?
Yeah, he's got to be better. And I know he's awesome games 4 through 7 of a series, but I've lost confidence and faith in the guy now. So I think Florida's going to win the series, but that's tough. It's to be up 2-0 would have been huge. Because I don't think Florida's going to beat them 4 out of 5. But you score 4 goals at home and you can't win. That can't happen if you're Edmonton. But goal in the
they first, have to get one of these games in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Goal in the first 10, 2-0. Goal in the first 5, 2-0. Mm-hmm. First period over, 2-0. Game over, 2-0. And shots on goal props have been great, except for Kane in game one. And a lot of firepower out there. And I know the Conn Smythe stuff has moved as well. So this is getting juicy, and it's been a hell of a series, and it could be an all-timer here.
All right, so let me expand on what you were talking about with the total at 6.5 tonight. And the shots on goal have been prevalent on both sides here through two games. And it has been one hell of a series so far. Why that could change, again, as you said, 91 degrees, 48% humidity. If you compare this year and look back what happened last year, the 4 games in the Cup in Florida, 3-0, 4-1, 5-3, and 2-1. Meanwhile, the 3 games in Edmonton were 4-3, 8-1, and 5-1. The shots on goal in Florida, 48.7 combined in those games. In Edmonton, 59.4. So, I mean, the way it's going so far, you would like to think that it's probably going to continue like that. Both teams are so good. There's, first of all, a lot of superstar power, but also, like, the depth on both sides is, it's just there. I mean, they have talent on every single line and multiple guys who can score, and that's awesome at this point of the season, obviously, when you're getting it from both sides. But if the ice is really going to have that big of an impact on it, maybe we don't have everybody go over their shots on goal. Maybe we don't get a 4-3 or a 5-4 type of game. With that said, the one guy that I would look at maybe with the shots on goal tonight, it would be for the Florida Panthers. And it would be on Seth Jones over 1.5 at minus 120. He has had six shots so far in the first 2 games. And that to me is a very reasonable number still. Some of this other stuff, Marchand in the previous game, he was 1.5 minus 130. That's now either moved to 2.5 or it's moved 60 cents after what happened. Maybe you're still okay laying $1.90 in a spot like that, but he's had 10 shots on goal so far in the first 2 games.
Yeah.
Is he live? Is he sneaky live to win the Conn Smythe?
I think 18-1 is an overreaction.
Because he was 30 right after the game.
Yeah, I think that's too much of an adjustment.
Okay.
It's got to be Bennett. To me,
it has to be.
Although Bennett, every goal but one has been on the road in the playoffs, which is bizarre. But it goes back to, is it either, depending on the winner, is it either Bob or McDavid? I think Bennett is ahead of Bob.
So do I.
Consider how many goals they've scored on him. You can point to the shots, but then again, you're playing extra periods here with the overtime. So
I think Draisaitl's right there with McDavid. I got to say it again.
Yes. And he's gone up to 6, even though he's played fantastic hockey. So, but that certainly, I don't have a problem with that. With the if you want to play that angle too, because the shots on goal have been awesome here, and a lot of people catching some big tickets, and now we've had back to back overtime games as well, and there goes your streak of 11 in a row with 2 goals or more.
That's right.
So what are we gonna see tonight? I don't know. I don't have a feel. I think Florida wins the series, but it's been great. Do you?
Yeah, I like
it. Yeah. Series or game 3?
No, well, kind of both, but I like them to win the series.
Yeah.
I think I like them both in games 3 and 4. And if Edmonton, I know that they came back and, you know, forced a game 7 last year when they were down 3-0. I think Florida's better than last year. I think you can say the same thing about Edmonton, but they're going to be completely up against it. I will not like their chances at all if that happens. I think they have to get one of these 2 games in Sunrise. The guy for Edmonton, Bouchard, has had 15 shots on goal so far. His prop tonight is 2.5 minus 110.
That's a good one, too.
That's again, to me, feels like it's a reasonable. It's not 3.5 at this point, and it's not like minus 175. McDavid is 3.5.
Uh-huh.
He's had 11 shots on goal so far.
Well, how are they going to call it, too? They let him play in game one. They called a lot in game two.
Oh, especially the first period.
Yes. I mean, that first period was an all-timer with what happened. Yeah, play goals, and it's 3-2, 10 minutes in.
Right.
But it goes back to maybe they let him play, and they don't call stuff tonight. Ekholm block shots has been popular. I know Jonathan Davis likes it. He's up today at VSiN.com. He's gone over that number, which is 1.5, 9 of the last 10. So if you want to go on that, you can jump in with his block shots prop, minus 145. And, again, I think you have to play Bob over saves.
26.5 now tonight.
They're averaging more than 31 shots on goal going back the last 16 games. Number those, that's 2-0, too. So
I think you got to go back and look and find out how many shots on goal these other teams were getting in Florida, right, when they were playing there. Like how many shots, and maybe the Carolina thing was just, that's not going to hold up because they weren't doing anything offensively, but how many shots on goal did Toronto get in that series? And it wasn't quite as warm back then as it was today, obviously. But that would be my, you know, one angle here, again, with it being 91 degrees tonight with high humidity. But he has 84 saves so far in the series. Granted, both games went to overtime. And then Skinner has 66, and his number is also 26.5 tonight.
He's got to bounce back. He seemed rattled, and that's just a Mickey Mouse goal to give that. It's a peewee goal to give up in a Stanley Cup final.
Well, okay,
I can't believe that went in.
What does...
The defenseman raises his stick. Marchand loses control of the puck, and he can't stop it?
Mm-hmm.
It's barely moving, and that went in? I couldn't believe it.
But, okay, so does Marchand know something there? Like, that's the spot where you have to attack him, basically, is the five hole? But both goals just look like they were lazy and they could have been stopped by high schoolers.
Yeah.
That doesn't not get by Paulie Howard back in his all-region days, I'll tell you that. Back in 1994.
Oh, gosh. It was a hell of a game, though. Incredible. Incredible.
But it's been a great series so far.
It just sucks to end that way, though.
I know.
In a double overtime, and it's softy. I can't believe that went in. But I'm
disappointed in the shorthanded goal.
Okay.
Come on, guys.
That's fair.
Yep. How the hell you have so much hand at that point, tied at three apiece, and you're on the freaking power play.
Yeah.
Get one there, and that's maybe the ball game, and you're going to be up 2-0.
You've never lost a series, best of 7 when they're up 2-0. Speaking of Edmonton, and now the adjusted series price, $1.18 behind us, $1.20 at other spots, and then Florida $1.40 at DraftKings for the game. And 6.5 under -120. We hit the road Wednesday. We're going to Omaha. And what an eclectic mix we're going to have. We could have, 7 different conferences represented. If Murray State wins today, we'll be at Rocco's, the home of the Jello Shot Challenge, the 12th through the 14th. Special Follow the Money Show Saturday, 9 to 12 local time in Omaha. We'll bring you the sights, sounds, and best bets from the tournament. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by, say hello. Rocco's, the 12th through the 14th this week. We're going out there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Rocco's at Omaha.
Can't wait. Yeah, doing our shows there Thursday, Friday, and then also Saturday morning. It'll be 9 until noon there at Rocco's, and the Jello shots are going to be flowing. We'll head to Sunrise, Florida up next. Dennis Bernstein joins the program. He's got a bunch of bets that he likes, and also, will it be a different story tonight with potentially different ice? We'll ask him next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
More on Game 3 tonight of the Stanley Cup Final as we head now to Sunrise, Florida. Location between the Panthers and the Oilers as the great Dennis Bernstein joins the program now. TheFourthPeriod.com. And also he is on the pre and the post game. It starts tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sirius XM NHL Channel 91 before the game. DB, good to talk to you as always. How are you, my man?
Doing great here on the beach at the Westin. You know how I roll.
So I know
ready.
How you
ready
roll.
Ready for an amazing game 3. Yep. Look, guys, if tonight's anything like the first two, buckle up. It's been an amazing cup final.
Well, that's where we have to start. Will it be? Because if you go back, we did this in the previous segment and compare the scores last year, right? And the shots on goal, a lot more action was happening in Edmonton. And these first two games have been epic. A lot of shots on goal, a lot of goals overall. How different will the ice be tonight? And if it is going to be like a big time difference, how does that impact the game?
Well, I've been over to the arena already to set up for our pregame show, and it's really cold in the building, but there's humidity here in South Florida. There isn't on the plains of Alberta. So I got to think that the ice is going to be slower. And you go back to last year's cup final, guys, 3 or 4 games went under 6.5. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to happen tonight. The travel, a little bit of humidity, a little bit more intensity defensively. So I think if you're playing a total tonight, I go under 6.5.
All good points. Because you're talking travel, double overtime on the heels of another overtime game. So makes sense there. How about how they're going to call it? There were 14 penalties in game 2. What do you think happens tonight?
I think that was the referees overstepping a little bit. So I would not expect that tonight. I don't think both teams are going to get 5 power plays. I think it'll be a little bit reasonable, maybe 2 or 3 power plays for each team. It's what usually is the experience, Paulie. It's what the average is. I think that was an anomaly in game 2. So I think less power plays tonight, which probably leads to less scoring as well.
Have you been disappointed in Skinner's play?
No, not really. Look, I didn't like the goal that Bobrovsky gave up in game one from Arvidsson. Slap shot from 47 feet. So not disappointed. Stu's going to give up some bad ones, but it's not going to lose them the game. And I know the last goal by Marchand in overtime went through his legs. He really whiffed on the shot. But no, I'm not really disappointed because the team in front of him, Paulie, they have to play better. They have to be better defensively. Now, they're moving Ekholm down on the pairs, which is interesting today. So you might see Nurse and Bouchard up top. I haven't been disappointed in Stu. He's always good at bouncing back. Wasn't the greatest game, but it's not why they lost a game to in Edmonton the other day.
Okay, and you brought him up there. You like Ekholm on a prop tonight. What is it, and why do you like it?
Well, Ekholm's there to play defense. Even though he scored a goal in game two and he's tied the game, I like him because I like the blocks. I think they're going to really have to focus on defense, and that's it. Because they're not going to score four or five goals, Mitch, the New Orleans in Sunrise tonight. So they have to concentrate on defense. So I like Ekholm getting in front of Stu, helping out Stu with blocks. So I like Ekholm over 1.5 blocks tonight.
All right, good read, good feel. That's cashed 9 of the last 10. How about third period total?
These teams love to close. If you look at the goal differentials, Paulie, regardless of who wins the game, I don't think we're going to overtime. And so you're probably looking at a team that's going to win. It may be tied going to the third period, maybe an empty net goal. So the team that gets the goal in the third period maybe gets an empty net. So I like it over 1.5 goals. Because if you look at the goal differentials for these teams, they've been money in the third period. So the team that's going to win is probably going to get a couple of goals in the third to win this game tonight.
Overall, through two games, do you have a feel? Do the numbers suggest that one side is better? To me, it looks like pretty much top to bottom, they're almost dead even.
This is 7-1 game series. There's no momentum. There's no carryover. There's not much separating these teams. And here's the thing, Mitch. These clear-cut, whatever you want to play, these are the two best teams.
Yes.
By far. Mm-hmm. Right? By far. They should be playing. And I think the way it lays up, it's going to be 7 games again. I won't be shocked if I had to go back and forth a couple more times between Edmonton and South Florida. These are the best two teams at this point in time. A toss-up on the game. They're all toss-ups, Mitch. You look at the prices. Now, it's not a lot there on the price. So if you like one team over the other, I would say that's a fine bet. Maybe a slight edge to the Panthers coming home tonight. But I still like the Oilers in 7.
Okay, so you would definitely want to make a bet on over like 6.5 games in the series.
Oh, yeah. I'd bet, but no question. Yep.
So you talk to everybody. What are they saying about Conn Smythe? And who do you want to give out to win the Conn Smythe right now?
Okay, so Sam Bennett set a record for the most road goals ever in the playoffs. He scored 12. I think he scored 13. He scored 12 on the road.
Right.
That's exceptional. Now, Sam Bennett's a tough guy. He's not goalies out. If I told you at the beginning of the final, at the beginning of the playoffs, that Sam Bennett would be in the running for the Conn Smythe, you would have said I was day drinking or something. So, but that's it. So, and on the Oilers side, so maybe Bob, if Bob gets a couple of shutouts, Paulie, here in the last couple of games, then maybe. But I love Sam Bennett as a Conn Smythe. On the Oilers side, I know if Leon scores a couple, I'm sorry. If Connor McDavid raises the trophy, you're not going to give him the Conn Smythe? Come on. That's why he's the favorite to win the Conn Smythe still. Granted, he had 42 points last year. He's not getting 42 this year. But I think, humans vote for this, right? And I think whoever votes for this is going to look at Connor McDavid raising the trophy and say, okay, he's your Conn Smythe winner. So I think that if I had to, my two players would be Connor on the Edmonton Oilers and Sam Bennett for the Florida Panthers.
Okay, so what does Dreisaitl have to do to overtake McDavid in the voters' eyes then to actually get the award if they do win this in whatever, how many ever games it's going to be? He has 3 goals so far in the series. Nobody else for Edmonton has more than 1.
He'd have to get a hat trick in a winning game, maybe. I mean, he'd have to do a lot, Mitch. I just think, this is a legacy for Connor McDavid, right? We talk about legacies, right? For him to win it, right? And after, 10 years or 11 years in Edmonton, Leon's a great player. He might eventually win it one day. He won't win the MVP. I assume now it's going to be Hellebuck if you see some photos out there on the internet. But, Mitch, I just think that the story lends itself towards Connor getting the Conn Smythe. Like he finally actualized what he came here over 10 years ago to Edmonton and try to win a cup for this team. They haven't got it done. I just think the emotions of the moment, given the way the voters are, I just don't see how Leon could do it unless he had a massive, massive final 3 or 4 games for the Edmonton Oilers.
All right, let's put the legacy aside for a second here. When you watch Connor McDavid skate, How many players in history that you can think of are better than him?
None. Now, he's not the greatest ever because nobody's going to break Wayne Gretzky's record for assists. But, Mitch, nobody does what Connor does at that speed, ever. Wayne was never that fast. No. Bobby Orr was never that fast. Mario Lemieux was never that fast. He does it at that skill that he demonstrates at that speed is just amazing. And, you know, it was funny. There was a press conference yesterday, and they asked Connor, like, if you were talking to a kid growing up, how would you train him to do what you do? And Connor, like, for 20 seconds, couldn't answer him. And Leon goes, I'll answer that for you. You can't. It's not learned. Nobody can do what Connor McDavid does. So if you're a casual fan and you haven't tuned into the final, watch this player. Now, he might not do it tonight. Might do it in game four or game six or whatever. But this is a player. This is a generational talent. And it's not hyperbole. Like, this is the best player in the league. Right? There might be another MVP this year. This is the best player. And I don't think it's close at this point.
You know who he is? He's Barry Sanders. And that's exactly the thought that I had when he had that unbelievable, that exquisite assist the other night to Draisaitl. That was picture perfect. It's a 10 out of a 10. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody on ice ever do that in my life before. The way he just, whatever, you name it, he was doing it, and it was unbelievable. And I thought only he could do that. Just like Barry Sanders when he was running the football, you could try to be Barry Sanders, but you were never going to be like that. So that's the comp to me.
And Mitch, here's the thing about that play, right? He beat Barkov, who's going to win the Selke. He's the best defensive forward in the league. And then he beat Aaron Ekblad, who's a top pair defenseman for the Florida Panthers. He didn't beat a fourth liner and a third pair defenseman. he beat the best two defensive players on this championship team. That's why he's Connor McDavid.
Well, great stuff. Okay. So under 6.5 to confirm, but you do like the over in the third period, 1.5. You like Ekholm over blocks, which is 1.5. And then you got to grab some Bennett for the Conn Smythe at plus 475.
Yep. That's okay. What we got.
Very good.
Thanks, buddy.
Dennis is going to be on the pregame show tonight on SiriusXM, the NHL channel 91 that starts at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Enjoy the game, buddy. We appreciate it.
Well, it's always great being on Follow the Money on VSiN. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
I catch you. And he was on the progressive guest line. Didn't you think the same thing, kind of? Like, how many guys in the history of the sport could do what he did with that assist?
Is he 8 away from the record? I think he's 8 points away from Gretzky's record, too. That's the other one. And I'm glad we agree that he has Bennett ahead of Bob for this as well.
You have to at this
point.
And
there's 6-1s out there on Bennett as well. Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings. Circa takes huge bets from pro bettors. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. The sport needed this too. I mean, it's the best player in the world, and you get two awesome games, and it's especially game two. It's, you know, gather around the TV, let's go. This is an all-timer here. It started and then the finish.
Much like yesterday's championship match, right, at Roland Garros, that's one of the best title matches of all time. If this series plays out, like, for 7 games like it has in the first two, it'll be one of the best Stanley Cup finals we've ever watched.
Yeah.
Win-lose up next. We have to give it up to a weekly guest on this show as yet another winner cashed over the weekend, this time around 65-1. Paulie with the details next.
Howard recaps the night in sports betting and win some, lose some.
Jeff Seeley, motorboat and son of a gun. Ryan Fox, 65-1. Tipped him on top 20s and top 10s last week, and he gets it done. And I know TMI Ozzy had him as well to win the damn thing.
You see what Rory did this weekend?
Yes, got to be concerned.
What, 9 over for the tournament? Missed the cut?
By 15 shots? Absolutely. A lot of surprises.
His number obviously jumped up this week for the U.S. Open as a result of that poor play.
Yeah. Game two, Friday night, all-timer. Bennett first goal, 14-1. Anytime goal, plus 260. Kane first Oiler goal, 11-1. Perry does it again. The latest goal in Stanley Cup final history to send it to overtime, plus 260.
How good has that guy been?
He's been, It's like Jonathan Davis has been talking about. The guy's like even money to get a point and like 320 to score. You got to take the even money. Now he's come down a little bit,
sure. But
take the even money to score. Kulikov, 24-1. The goal through traffic, which was deflected and went in for Florida. Jones, 7-1 anytime. Bouchard, plus 340. 14-1 to score in the first period. Marchand, plus 310, two goals, 30-1, overtime goal, 90-1. Will we have double overtime in the series? Yes, 4-1. Overtime, game two, 3-1. Exact score, 25-1. Eight of the last nine meetings between these two have gone over. French Open, Coco was 6-1 before the tournament, plus 450 in play in the final. Alcaraz, 65-1 at DraftKings in play. College World Series, Arizona shocks North Carolina. Back-to-back days, plus 250 and plus 250. They lost game one like 18-2.
Yeah.
They come back, they're going to go to Omaha. Murray State, plus 230. See if they can win today against Duke. UFC, Cortez Acosta decision, 6-1. Gustafson decision, 6-1. Van to win in round two, 5-1. Harrison round two, 5-1. Ivalishvili, submission, 11-1. Round three, 15-1. Game two, Thunder Pacers. Happens again with the game leaders. Most threes, Wallace, 25-1. Hartenstein, most rebounds, 4-1. Most assists, SGA, 2-1. WNBA, Golden State bunks the Aces, 6-1, or by 6-1 on the money line. They were up 27, I think. Beat them by 27.
Yeah.
After the game, Hammond called his team, her team, soft.
How often do you see in any sport, right, because they were laying, I think, 11.5 or 12.5 on the point spread. You mentioned the money line. A team absolutely obliterated the entire game and down by almost 30 points.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I got more on that coming up later. A little bit, what's happened to WNBA. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always wanted to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send him in, we'll put you on. This is quick, but you got to notice right away what he's doing. And no video. They're having a birthday party for this guy, the French Bulldog, and all he does is pop the balloons. He's popping all the balloons, and they have to restrain him. And he goes, they go, no more, no more. He goes, come on, let me get out, right? He like popped three of them right away. And he's jumping around, and they say, you can't do that. We can't, no, no more. He gets, they get six.
They're holding him in a down. Full Nelson.
Yeah, right, because all he wants to do is pop all the balloons, and he took three or four of them. Okay, we got to take you out of this room. Can't do it. You're banned. You know, you're in timeout, buddy. Look at him. He's just going crazy because he wants to pop the balloons. Incredible. Look at right away, got that one, runs in the corner, gets that one. Look at the Chihuahua fighting with the male. I mean, this is a new one, right? Coming through, grabbing that. Give me the magazine. Here comes the mailman. Every single day, look at this. He's ready and greets him. And you get the different angles and vantage points. Look at this shot coming in, right? How good is this? How creative. With the dog waiting for the mailman, and he attacks the mail every single day. There he is out there waiting outside.
I did not know that we still have mailmen who deliver right to the front door and drop it in the mailbox.
Yeah.
But look at this guy.
Wow.
Goes absolutely bonkers for it.
Yeah. The cats are like, what's this guy on? A highlight reel of him, of the mailman coming in and going back and forth. Lose some. SEC, 13 bids in the college baseball tournament. Only two go to Omaha. Play the games. I don't want to hear about strength of schedule ever, no matter the sport.
Novel concept.
That's right. And a vicious beat, all-timer, Sinner $1.20. Alcaraz, 65-1 in play. Wins the first two sets. Had won 31 consecutive sets in a Grand Slam final. I think he lost since the fourth round of the Australian Open. A set. Gives a set back. It's okay. And then up 5-3, serving 40-love. Three championship points. Loses, loses, loses. Blows the game. Blows the set. Loses. And then the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Before the line moves, the sharp plays at sharpplays.com already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You're not going to out-muscle billion-dollar books or full-time pro bettors on your own. But with the Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. Free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights delivered right to you via email or X. They're not some overnight startup. They have a documented track record going back to 2011. Receipts, public logs, results right there on the site. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now, sharpplays.com. He is awesome. He was great on the air last week.
So it's also U.S. Open week. I'm blown away what happened to Rory this weekend. Not good. That's going to, you know, take a lot of people off the scent for him this week at the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
I have four guys so far. In
Ben Griffin?
Portfolio. I don't have him. What did you grab him at?
70-1.
I saw the video of him today with the ball in the rough.
Yeah.
And this has been a big story on social media with multiple golfers. I mean, they dropped the ball in the rough to give you an idea of what it's like. It drops down, Paul. What are we talking? Into like 8-10 inches of grass? The way it looks? And the grass, call it whatever you want.
There we go.
And then you got to go out there and try to fish the ball out when you can't even find it.
Mm-hmm. He's 5-1 at DraftKings top 10. But the guy's just spent on a serious heater.
Look at that. You can't even find it from right there, that angle.
Uh-huh.
5-1 top 10, you said?
Yeah.
But I have to admit, I love courses like this, and I hope it plays out where the winner is like 3 under. I would take that over 24 under to win the tournament, and like 8 guys are 17 under or below for the whole weekend. I don't like that. I love the U.S. Open. So I said this on the Monday after the PGA Championship because people hate it when, oh, you never said that you bet that guy at that number. Okay, well, here you go. I bet on the Sunday of the PGA Championship. There was a book here in town that left numbers up for the U.S. Open. I took Scotty at +480. I took, for a nice bet, I have DeChambeau at 15-1. Numbers are long gone, obviously. Yesterday, watching some of this stuff play out, also the live, Rahm 14-1, and Auber had a great tournament. You can grab him at 30-1. I'm on him as well. I don't think I'm going to add many more guys. I don't think this tournament's going to be there for the taking by somebody who's not one of the big guns. I think based on the history of the U.S. Open, how tough this course is going to have to be, the field of players you're going to have to beat, I don't know if you want to go fishing for anybody like, and I could be dead wrong on this, but to me, the way I'm approaching it, I'm not looking for long shots this weekend.
Wow.
I can't do it. So those are my 4 guys. Maybe.
Well, how about Lowry? Is Lowry considered one?
I was somebody
40
told
to one.
I really respect, said they bet Lowry, and I need to get on him.
Yeah.
My guess is that Indy Jeff, when he's on tomorrow, well, if he has Scotty, it's going to be parlayed with something else, but I don't know if he's going to do that. I think Scotty's going to be on, or I'm sorry, I think Jeff's going to be on somebody like Sepp Straka. And I wonder if he's going to be on somebody like Victor Hovland.
I was just going to say him, yeah. 60-1. Why not? You have to.
That is a...
Right.
That's a big number. Big number, man.
Oh, hold on. I was looking at the wrong thing.
What am I looking at? No, he's 60.
No, that's right. Yeah. I was talking... Yeah, I shortchanged Ben Griffin. He's 9-1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's 9-1.
All right.
I got to take that.
But I'm not...
He's hot. He's playing great golf.
Yeah, you're
minus
right.
Minus 160, no hole in one. If you're right, if the course is going to wreak havoc,
I know.
Let's get back on it. No hole in one.
So now DraftKings, they adjusted Rory after yesterday to 12-1. Like, what number would you take on Rory?
No chance. Wear the clown outfit. No chance he does it. He came unglued. It happens.
I know it does. I'm not going to.
The game can humble you.
Sure.
I mean, but everyone's got a price and everyone has an opinion. I saw someone who made a huge bet on Phil Mickelson, which he's like 275-1.
I will say that if I did not have a single bet yet and Rory is there at 12-1, or maybe you can find a little bit better, that would be pretty tempting. But based on the guys who I have already, I think I'm okay. But I don't want Justin Thomas. I like the guy.
No.
Hopefully he wins like this tournament at some point.
Cantlay, Connors?
Yeah, but
Connors, top 10, top 5?
I can't bet him to win.
No.
He will. To me, he'll never beat a field like this.
Okay.
But I can see him being like top 10.
Big Bob, front porch Bob, 110-1.
Placement.
Yeah.
Like a top 10 or top 20 for him.
Okay. Yep. I'm with you. It used to bother me. I love it now. If the course is going to be a story and they're going to struggle, so be it.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't want to see John Deere Classic.
Well, because we have too many of those throughout the year.
Yeah. We do.
You know? So, all right, Major League Baseball up next. He would be a Cy Young candidate based on his numbers at home, which is where he is pitching tonight. Find out who it is next here on BSN.